Surf Rock Podcast.
Was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Don't you just love those little teasers? I don't know what your family tradition is at Christmas time, but for mine, like, we have already started hitting every Christmas movie that's out there. So we're good 2-3 in. If you have suggestions, Jody will be here later. She would love to find out some of the ones that I'm not already showing her. But I want to do a quick poll in the house, if that's okay. How many Grinches do we have in the house today, right? So, there we go. One honest person in this whole church, just one, right? I gotta be honest with you. There's usually two different kinds of people when it comes to this preparation for Christmas, right? The ones that just can't even stand it that they don't have their stuff up before Thanksgiving, right? And then the rest of us that are like, oh man, all the things that are going on, all the challenges, all these things. I love the teaser in that film that says, maybe Christmas is just a little bit more. You know, that's what this entire series is about. You know that, right? The purpose of what we're doing, the Wonder Series, is to prepare our hearts, to prepare our lives, to bring ourselves to that place of our first anticipation of Christmas. Any of us that have kids at home or have raised kids or have seen kids, anytime that it gets close to Christmas, there's like a twinkling in their eye. I have a picture of Cameron from a couple of years back that she was just sitting by one of our Christmas trees in the house and staring into it for hours. And you just wonder, what are they thinking about? See, my hope, my prayer, is that at North Rock Church, we will have that kind of wonder, the wonder of a child approaching Christmas for the very first time as we approach Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time today. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is always brought to us for one purpose and one purpose only, Lord, to reveal your glory, to draw us near to you, to show us the wonder of the God that we serve. So, Lord, as we engage with your word today, as we get into the scriptures, we pray that you would do a work in our heart. Lord, one that only you can do, that you would restore to us, that you renew in us, as you do every time we come into contact with you, the wonder of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. Well, I asked the question about how many Grinches in the house because I'm a reformed Grinch, okay? Like, I tend to lean more into the side of, okay, what's it going to cost, and how are we going to do this, and where do we have to be, and you got anybody else identify with that? Where it just seems like the seasons are on turbocharge these days, right? It's like it's not even that there's the pressure of Christmas, it's that Christmas is pressing Thanksgiving out of the way. Right? And so it's one day after Thanksgiving. You guys see it all over the news. You guys were out there shopping. You were out there in the stores, right? You guys are the smart ones then. But it's like one day after, oh, Lord, thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We trample each other trying to get the best deals on Black Friday, right? And then that's followed by Cyber Monday, and then that's followed by. There's this whole side of Christmas that's commercial. We all agree with that, right? But there's some of that to be enjoyed. But if that's all that Christmas is, then I think that we miss that there's a little bit more, right? To quote our famous Dr. Seuss or the Grinch himself, right? So two things I'd like to accomplish today as we dig into the Word. The first is I want us to take some time and talk about what Advent is, okay? Because we say words in church sometimes that we all nod and affirm, like we know what we're talking about, and sometimes we really don't, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? It's like, oh yeah, praise God, amen, uh-huh. What's Advent anyway? Right? We know it has something to do with the preparation for the Christmas story and the preparation for what Jesus says, but we really don't understand what the preparation is for or what it's looked like historically. So I hope to help us learn and a little bit more about that. The second thing that I want to do is concentrate as we lead into the Christmas story on certain aspects of the Christmas story. Today I'm going to be taking on the virgin birth. I'm going to be talking about the miracle that Mary experienced, all right? Because the reality is, if you've been in church for any period of time, you've heard the story over and over and over again, right? And our familiarity with the story can sometimes put us back in our chairs like, yeah, pastor, we know the baby Jesus, blah, 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 right? We just naturally have to fight against that. That's what wonder is all about. That is what Advent is all about. So here's a little bit about understanding Advent as a way back to our wonder, okay? The first is we need to know that it starts December 3rd this year. It lasts 4 weeks, and it ends on Christmas Eve, okay? Advent comes from the word Adventus, the Latin word Adventus, and it means coming, right? So some of us probably knew that because we've been in church for a long time. I, on the other hand, didn't know a lot of this until we started participating in an Advent season as a church for the last couple of years. Okay, but the Latin word is the one that really was an aha moment for me this year. And the Greek word, sorry. The Greek word is parousia. Say parousia. You're probably pronouncing that incorrectly. But that's because I did it before you, and it's okay. As long as we all say that's how you say it, that's how you say it, right? That's how we say it. But that word is the same word that they used in describing Jesus' second coming. And so I love that Advent is that idea, that we're not just celebrating the birth of baby Jesus as the introduction to God coming to rest with his creation to remind us that he is here with us. But for those that have already acknowledged that Jesus is the Savior of the world, for those of us that have already said yes to Christ and given him our entire lives, it's really Christmas Advent season is about reminding us that it's yes, he's came, and yes, he's here, but yes, he's still coming back, right? That it's holding in between that tension that gives Advent the power to renew the wonder in our lives. It's twofold. The first is celebrating the initial arrival of Christ. The second is anticipation for his return. It reminds us of the now and the not yet realities of what faith is all about. Advent reminds us of the importance of waiting on the Lord. How many of you guys, as I do, struggle with waiting on the Lord and his timing? Right? Advent is a great exercise for us as a season of reminding ourselves that we wait upon the Lord, and then we wait upon the Lord, and then we wait upon the Lord. But as we interact with him along the way, we're renewed. Our wonder is restored. As we come into contact with his daily mundane miracles that he does in our lives, the miracle of the mundane where he operates in the midst, of all kinds of challenges and stresses that we face in this world. Advent whispers to us of the need for a Savior. Advent teaches us that God's timing is always better than our own. It ushers in an awareness as we engage with the process of participating in the first Advent that the revelation of God in Christ brings reconciliation to the world, while the anticipation of the second Advent, the consummation of Jesus and his church. So we participate in one, and then we anticipate the other, right? As one catechism describes it, when the church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation for the Savior's first coming, the faithful renew their ardent desire for His second coming. Isn't that good this morning, church? That for those of us that might be a little bit tired of the same old baby in a manger, blah, 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 that it's not just the reminder of what He's done for us historically. It's that our King is going to return. That we anticipate it, that we feel it, that we participate in being the people that He's called us to be, renewing our wonder as we await His arrival. See, what I tried to say a little bit earlier with just our familiarity with the story is that sometimes if we become too familiar with the story, we can lose our sense of wonder with it. We can become desensitized. The more we come into interaction with something, the better chance there is that it just becomes part of the fabric of our lives. Part of, yeah, 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 we go to church, blah, 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 right? Yeah, 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 we worship. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And really, there it is a spiritual discipline for us to battle against that. That sense of, okay, this is just the normal, right? Can I just challenge us a little bit as we head into the Christmas season as a church, that we recognize if some of that's going on with us, and that we remember that there's an amazing, spectacular nature to this story. And that it's not just the story of the virgin birth, it's not just the story of the baby Jesus, but it's our story, it's your story, it's my story that Jesus is writing because of this amazing event in history. We don't ever want to give way to the spectacular nature of God's interaction with His people to become commonplace in our lives. But just like that child that's looking into the Christmas tree, just like that child that's experiencing Christmas for the very first time, I want to be that kind of child of God, the one who continually experiences the miracle of miracles, the incarnation. I want to be the type of Christian, the type of pastor, the type of husband, the type of daddy that's always recognizing that Jesus is drawing near to His creation. And I don't want to be the one that just settles for moving through a story about the nativity, right? But rather, I would rather have the story move through me to experience my own modern-day Mary miracle, right? I mean, that really is what faith is doing. It's grasping hold of the story of God and saying, God, not just them, me. God, I want to experience these things, right? And so as part of that, what we're going to look at is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up. We've been fighting our projection unit all day, so I can tell you guys are real people of God because it hasn't shut down on us yet. Now, I'm just saying if it shuts down, it doesn't mean that you're not no longer people of God. But I'm just saying things are going well, and I'm happy for it, and we're just thanking God for it. So I'm going to talk fast, even get through it before it shuts off on us again, okay? So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, J.B. Phillips, New Testament. It's the story of Mary getting the vision from God that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. It says in verse 26, it says, then 6 months after Zechariah's vision, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a Galilean town, Nazareth by name, to a young woman who was engaged to a man called Joseph. The girl's name was Mary. The angel entered her room and said, greetings to you, Mary, O favored one, the Lord be with you. Pay attention to that. We're going to come back to it. Mary was deeply perturbed at these words and wondered what such a greeting could possibly mean. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. God dearly loves you, or He loves you dearly. You are going to be the mother of a son, and you will call Him Jesus. And He will be great and will be known as the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His forefather David, and He will be king over the people of Jacob forever. His reign shall never end. Then Mary spoke to the angel and said, how can this be? I'm not even married. But the angel made this reply to her, said, the Lord the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Your child will therefore be called holy, the Son of God. Your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son, old as she is indeed. This is the sixth month for her, a woman who was called barren. For no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. Verse 38 says this. Mary's response was, I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say. And at that, the angel left her. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be like a really crazy moment in your life, right? Like, sometimes I think we just pass through that. Like, yeah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, uh-huh. Yeah, the virgin. Yeah, I got it. No, here's a woman who is young, unmarried, and God comes to her with a vision and says, I have a purpose for your life. I have something I want to do through you, and it's probably going to be tough. It's probably going to be a challenge. It's probably going to be misunderstood. It's probably going to be something that you don't understand. The people around you cannot even fathom outside of knowing that you have a vision from the Lord. I would like to suggest today that Mary participating in her vision is as important as God selecting her for that vision. Let me say it a different way. It really is a story, not just of the Savior being born into the world. It's a story of a young lady trusting God in the midst of all kinds of chaos, all kinds of challenges, all kinds of being misunderstood for her faith, and being willing to carry that vision through it all. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 45, says that Mary experienced her renewal of wonder and experienced her miracle. It says, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. In Luke chapter 2, verses 19, it says, Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. That's why the New Living Translation says it. The NIV says it this way. It says, but Mary treasured these things up and pondered them in her heart. So what I'd like to do as a way of helping us to grow in our wonder of what God did, not just in that situation, but what he wants to do in our situations, is to take a look at some of the factors that surrounded Mary carrying her vision from the promise to completion, right? I stand here today, a follower of Jesus, a lover of God, a pastor to this church, because Mary carried a vision. Because she was willing to do her part while God did his part, right? Mary had to choose. That's the point that I'm making to start us out today, is that Mary had to choose to carry the vision that God had given to her. And it's the same way that she carries it, not in the literal sense that we're all going to come pregnant and we're all going to physically deliver the Savior of the world kind of thing. But I would like to suggest that every single one of us that sit here today have a vision over our lives. That God has, in a sense, impregnated us with a word from him and the faith to carry that word out. And it may be for some major thing, but it may just be that we are the fathers and the mothers and the parents and the husbands and the wives and the singles and the workers that live a life that shares Jesus, that carries Jesus into our world as the vision for our life. We carry the promise of Jesus wherever we go. That's what it means. When we put on the hat that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, we carry that. We carry that presence. We carry that purpose in our lives. But it takes us being willing to be uncomfortable. I love that the scriptures are so real with us. They're so honest. They're so raw that it gives us Mary's expression when the angel says this, right? It's like we just want to say, oh yeah, she just said, yes, sir. I got this. Nope. It says that word to her was unsettling. It says that she wrestled with it. It says that she had to try to figure out how to walk in that thing, right? Imagine being that little girl, that young woman preparing to be married, and having that greeting. Greeting, favored one. Greeting, favored one. The Lord is with you. Can I just tell you, as we sit here today, that same greeting that Mary got from the angel is the one that God is speaking over you today. Greeting, favored one. Greeting, favored one. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. That as we enter into this whole season of the Christmas hustle and bustle and mess, that we carry the Lord Jesus with us. And that by doing so, He carries us by the power of His Spirit, right? So in order for Mary to accomplish the mission that God had for her life, from the promise to the fulfillment of His good word, she had to choose to carry the vision. Second thing that happened in Mary's story is that that vision consisted of both a word from the Lord and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That those are the two sides of walking in the calling that God has for your life, right? How many of you guys today, as I stand here with you, as you sit and look back at me, know that there's a vision that God has for your life? That He has got a purpose beyond paying the bills, beyond the grind of this world. Can I just tell you that I have no doubt that if you are in relationship with the living God, if you're aware of it, that you recognize it, that you in any way, shape, or form have acknowledged that Jesus is the Lord of your Savior, that you recognize, I promise you that He's got a vision far beyond what you can see. Same way with Mary, right? See, I love that Mary just took God at His word and said, okay, let's do this, right? Instead of, now tell me exactly how this is going to all work out. So how am I going to be the one that has a baby? Like, we're missing something here, Lord, right? How many of you guys wrestle with that as I do, right? That I want to know the end before I step forward in the promise. And can I just tell you that it doesn't work that way? It doesn't work that way. We have to be willing to carry the vision, and then we have to be willing to allow God to empower us in that vision as we hold on to His word over us. So I just want you to take a moment. I want you to think about the promises that have been spoken of your life. Maybe it's by a parent. Maybe it's by a pastor. Maybe it's by a friend. Maybe it's somebody else that you've had the Holy Spirit whisper something in your ear about something He wants to do in your life. Can I just tell you, the only way that it goes from promise to fulfillment is that we choose to carry it, that we remember that it's God's word, not our feelings. It's God's word that establishes it, and it's His power that accomplishes it in our life. Third thing that I see as evident, and what I would consider maybe even a framework for experiencing our own modern-day Mary miracle, is that Mary's vision was realized through prayerful anticipation, right? That she prayed and she thought of those things in her heart over and over and over and over. It says that the Scriptures told us that she treasured them up, that she pondered in her heart, that she thought of them often, and that she, in faith, remembered that a word spoken, Luke chapter 1, verse 45, not just your pastor's opinion, Luke chapter 1, verse 45, says, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what He said. So Mary's vision was realized through prayerful anticipation. In other words, for no promise of God can be left unfulfilled. I'd just like to suggest today that there are many of us today that are sitting somewhere in between the promise that God's given us in our lives and the fulfillment of what we believe that to look like. When we close our eyes, we know this is ultimately what I know He wants to do, but we're not there yet. That it's in that moment that we can choose faith to remember that it's God's power, empowerment, it's His word, and therefore it's His purpose to fulfill it, not ours. Finally, what I see in this story is that Mary's response to her vision changed history. I mean, literally changed history, right? You guys ever have those thoughts like Sohaila? Like, well, what about this? And how did that happen? Where did this, you know? Like, that's what my devotional life looks like with the Lord. It's like, well, what about this? And how did this happen? And why is this happening? What are we going to do with this? And, you know, and you can tell, you know, God in His loving way just puts up with it, maybe rolls His eyes just a little bit, but then loves us and continues to walk us through it, right? Mary's response to revision changed history because she had the faith to say, let it happen as you say. Let it happen as you say, Lord. So I'd like to suggest today that this miracle of Mary that we are talking about, this moment in her life that set up our Advent, that set up our ability to celebrate Christmas, that set up you and I coming to a place of faith in who Jesus is, that it wasn't just because she was some spectacular person. It was because God's purpose and His plan has always been to interact with His creation in a way that leaves us feeling like, good morning, O favored one. I've got a good plan for your life. So what? Now what, right? So knowing that the Messiah would be this bridge to heaven, this preacher of righteousness for Mary, Mary knew that the prophecies about who this child was long before she ever had this conversation. You guys ever stop and think to yourselves that most of what God is doing in our hearts is preparing us for eternity? That most of what He's doing in our lives is preparing us for the whole ever after, right? That really is not just about time and space. It's about His preparation for His purposes in our lives in every interaction that He has with us. Right? That far before Mary ever was born, far before she ever had this opportunity to walk in her miracle, the prophecies had spoken of who this Jesus child was. That she was well aware of that. That she knew those prophecies. And that they knew that it was going to be born of a virgin. What she didn't know, that she was going to be that virgin. Right? Mary never expected that it would be her. And in this ancient culture, a daughter's chastity, her virginity, determined whether a family lived as celebrated or as shamed. In other words, there was some sense of status in the culture. See, a virgin becoming pregnant would raise doubts and discomfort and ridicule and exile for her. In other words, her carrying her dream wasn't just some easy thing that happened, but that it happened because she chose in faith to carry it through all of that. So as the worship team comes forward and as we prepare to think about the reality that this isn't just a story about a Mary, this is a story about His people. As we sit here today, each and every one of us has a vision that God wants to birth into this world. But it's going to require that we choose it, that we hold on to that word, that we trust God's empowerment for it to come, and that we are willing to engage with the world that God wants to engage with. So my questions for you as we prepare to respond in worship is, are you ready to experience your modern day miracle moment? Are you willing to walk through what we just described happened to Mary? Are you willing to be misunderstood? Are you willing to have people speak ill of you because of your faith? Because if we're gonna walk through it and we're going to experience the fulfillment of what God wants to do in us, both individually and collectively, we got to be willing to walk through the hard stuff. To hold on to that vision, knowing that that's what the word that God has given us, and find our way through it all. Second question that I have for you to ponder before the Lord as we worship in response is, what is the vision that God's given you? What promises today that as I spoke those words leapt to your heart? You guys recognize that that's the Holy Spirit's active work in the naturally supernatural way? That He brings those things to remembrance? That He helps us remember those things? And really those become the guide wires of our lives? That as we go through all the muck and the challenge and the confusion of this world, we have those guide wires that says, this is who you are in Christ, and this is what I want to do through your life. And finally, do you know the people in your life that God's positioning you to carry Jesus to? That maybe today the whole idea of the nostalgic birth of this virgin child, or this Virgin Mary conceiving Jesus, isn't what's rocking your boat. It isn't rocking your world, right? But perhaps today the challenge is, are you willing to have the posture of Mary and carry Jesus to somebody you know would desperately, desperately respond to it, right? So this Christmas, let us be aware that, the whole purpose of the 4 weeks of what we're doing in talking about this and leading through Advent up to the culmination of our Christmas is for two purposes. One, to make known that God has reconciled His world to Himself, and two, to stir up in our own hearts an anticipation for His return, right? That, that we're stirring that, those gifts up, that we're reminding ourselves of the promises that God wants to do through us and in us, and as we come into interaction with His Word and with His Spirit, He transforms us more and more into His likeness. So let me pray, and then we will respond in worship. And as we respond, let's respond with hearts of wonder. Can we do that today, church? Let's pray. Let's not just become familiar with the rhythms and the routines of our worship, but let's worship Him like a child engaging in Christmas for the first time. So, Father, we do. We stand before You, Lord. We acknowledge ourselves. We come to You in a posture of knowing that it's not our strength that fulfills the vision, but it's Your Holy Spirit. It's Your Word. It's Your purpose in our lives. And Lord, that is such a redeeming and fulfilling prayer, knowing that it's not that we carry it on, but Lord, You carry us as we carry it on. So Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for every person sitting in it, Lord, that we would recognize that we have all been called to our merry moment, that we all carry the vision for who Jesus is to this world, and that we all have opportunities in our day-to-day lives to be those that carry You to the world. Pray, Father, that You would give us sensitivity in that, Lord, that You would give us hope in that, Lord, that You would remind us that You are the God who gives good gifts to Your people, knowing that it's through us and it's in us and it's to us that You fulfilled Your vision in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's worship. Thank You, Lord, that our reminder today is that it's Your power, not ours, that accomplishes the Great Commission in this world. That it's Your love that we draw into, it's Your love that we soak up, it's Your love that You pour out through Your people. So Lord, my prayer today is that as a congregation, that we would hear Your Word, that we would respond in faith, that we would be reminded that it wasn't just Mary, that she's not just some Christian superhero. Rather, she was just the instrument You chose for that particular miracle in the world. A very important one. But that as we stand here, what You speak over us is exactly what the angel spoke over her. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And our response to You today, Lord, the same as Mary's. May Your word to me be fulfilled. Father, we trust You with our very lives. We thank You for the mercy and the grace and the love that we experience in this place and in the grace of the relationship with You. And as we prepare to pray a prayer that we pray every week here at North Rock, the reminder of our response to God's grace upon our lives is simply that we bring nothing to the table other than a response to a good God who wants to do good things in our lives. So let's pray this prayer, whether we're praying it for the first time or praying it for the 500th time, like it's our first. Let's pray it with a sense of renewed wonder, knowing that God wants to do a modern-day miracle in us and through us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. Let me hear You. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following You in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's encouraging your heart today, can you give Him an applause? Lord, You are good and You are faithful. You're faithful. Amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. If you need prayer for any need in your life, We have a team available. But if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to meet you after the service. I've got a gift that I want to give you to get started in this walk with Jesus, okay? God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.